Departure with a Belly. Chapter 501. A stalker Jesse told Victoria about the news after she came back. He wants to see me.
Yes, but Mr. Morrison looked off when I saw him.
That snapped Victoria out of her thoughts, and she looked at Jesse.
Can you elaborate?
Jesse nodded. He was acting differently from how he used to, and he had this weird look on his face. Victoria pursed her lips. She didn't think it was odd that Bane would do this, as she had refused to see or talk to him for days. She was sleeping most of the time, and when Bane came over, she would ignore him. So, he could do nothing but stand by the bed in silence. Sometimes, he would stand for half an hour. Sometimes 1 hour. Sometimes the whole morning. Victoria, on the other hand, had no idea about this. Jesse only told her about it after she woke up.
And now he wants to see me?
Has Bane finally had enough? Is he finally going to confront me? Jesse changed Victoria into casual attire, a white turtleneck wool sweater paired with long pants and a gray jacket. Her hair was tied up, making her look perky. Victoria had been eating up the last couple of days, but she was still weak, and the weather was chilly. She was bloodless down to her lips, obviously still out of it. At first, she wanted to walk over, but Bane got her a wheelchair, planning to let her sit on it and have someone push her to the destination. Victoria was reluctant at first. She thought she was healthy enough to walk, so there was no need for a wheelchair. However, Jesse said, "Miss Selwyn, he's probably worried you've gotten weak from not eating well. Walking might drain too much of your energy, so it'd be better if you go in a wheelchair."
"I'll take there.
You don't have to exhaust yourself, you know, so that's why." Victoria nodded.
"I see."
She then sat in the wheelchair. It was then she realized she was getting dizzy from all the standing. The complications were still lingering around. The wheelchair could really save her energy.
Up.
Since they would only meet at night, they had a lot of time to prepare. Once they were done, Jesse pushed her out, and it was already nighttime by then. Victoria was surprised they would be going out.
"Why is he seeing me outside?"
Jesse shook her head, confused as well. "I initially thought he'd meet you at his place, but was told he'd meet you outside just moments ago. And judging from the address, it's on the rooftop." Victoria's heart skipped a beat when she heard that.
"On the rooftop?
Why is he meeting me on a rooftop?" Knowing that they would meet on a rooftop made her heart race. She pursed her lips and gripped the armrest tightly.
99% oh, the stars are beautiful tonight.
Look. She looked up and was greeted by a river of stars hanging in the night sky. It had been so long since she took a good look at the night sky, and the sight mesmerized her. She could find no words to describe her feelings. Still, she was uneasy. Jesse, however, was oblivious to this. She loved stars and wouldn't stop staring at them. Even after they got into the car, she would lean on the window and stare up into the sky, excitedly babbling away. Victoria would smile and nod at her. She checked the rearview mirror and frowned. There was a black car behind them, and it had been following them for a while now. Most people wouldn't notice that, given that the traffic was heavy and the roads were intertwined. However, Victoria paid attention to detail, and every time she checked the rearview mirror, she would still see the car following them. It wasn't tailing them closely, but it was obvious they were following them. Victoria then looked around. Jesse was still leaning on the window, staring at the stars. Ethan had his arms crossed, and his eyes were closed. The driver was driving ahead. Aside from her, no one knew they were being tailed. She wasn't surprised that the driver and Jesse would be oblivious to the car, but Ethan should have noticed. She pursed her lips and was wondering if she should tell Ethan about it, but then the car swiveled another corner. She checked the rearview mirror again, but the car was nowhere to be found. Suspicion flared in her eyes.
It stopped following us.
Why?
Did I imagine things? Just then, Jesse blurted out, "We're here, Miss Selwyn. We're here already." Victoria turned around and noticed a luxury hotel standing before them. Ethan opened his eyes as well once the car came to a stop. The car doors opened, but the driver didn't go with them. He'd be waiting in the underground parking lot. Victoria held Jesse's hand and got out of the car. She looked at the wheelchair and frowned, suddenly thinking she didn't need it. "The wheelchair - worry not, Miss Selwyn. Once we get to the top, we'll tuck the wheelchair away. There'll be chairs waiting for you. We'll help you with it. Don't tire yourself out." After some persuasion from Jesse and Ethan, Victoria plopped down on the wheelchair, letting them push her inside. They garnered a lot of attention on their way, but Victoria pretended that there wasn't anyone around. Ethan and Jesse flanked Victoria as they waited for the elevator to arrive. Victoria looked around and pursed her lips. "Odd. There were a lot of people when we came in, so how come only three of us are waiting for the elevator? And there's no one around." A man turned the corner and approached them, holding a suitcase. He then stopped before the elevator. Victoria pursed her lips and massaged her forehead. "I've been feeling uneasy all day. Maybe I should go out more. It's been a while since I went around." The elevator arrived, and they went inside. Jesse pressed the top floor's button, whereas the man, who came in after them, pressed the button for the 18th floor. As they went up, Victoria felt a chill settle in, and she pulled her collar tighter. "I wonder what Bane going to talk about." Suddenly, the elevator screeched to a halt. Shocked, the passengers looked at the indicator and realized they just ascended two floors. "What's wrong?" Jesse pressed the open button, but the elevator doors wouldn't budge. "Mr. Hudson, I think the elevator's malfunctioned." Chapter 502. Take you away. Ethan pressed a few buttons, but the elevator wouldn't budge. Since she was sitting down at the back of the elevator, Victoria couldn't see what they were doing. Though, when the elevator had gone a while without moving, she had already guessed what had happened. "Has the elevator malfunctioned? Why don't we take the stairs? Or another elevator next door? This is a luxury hotel. It should have a few elevators running at the same time." Jesse blurted, "No can do, Miss Selwyn. We can't even open the doors, so we can't even get out." "Oh, no. That might scare her," she whirled and assured, "but don't worry. We've just climbed two floors, and with the security measures in place, we'll be fine." "Oh, she's worried I might be scared." Victoria wasn't too concerned, however. She was a city girl, and the place was teeming with buildings. Elevators were a must, and she was using them every day. Malfunctions were normal, and with elevator tech being as advanced as it was now, she wasn't worried about herself. "I'm fine. Don't worry," she assured. "They have an emergency elevator. I'll make the call," the other man in the elevator blurted and made a call. The man looked like a foreigner, yet he was speaking in Corinthian, much to everyone's surprise. Ethan watched him make the call, and the man told the staff about the malfunction. He pursed his lips and looked at the man intently. "The staff's coming over soon, so stay calm." The man hung up and noticed everyone was staring at him, and he smiled. "Odd hearing me speak Corinthian, huh? I was an exchange student in Corinthia, so I learned the language, and I learned it for a while." Victoria wasn't fazed, but Jesse got excited and started chatting up the man. About a couple of minutes later, some staff members came to fix the elevator. "It's stuck. Once we open the doors, you guys come out," the staff member announced, and they started fixing the elevator. Once a crack big enough for one person to go through was made, the staff member said, "All right, you may come out now." Ethan looked at the man who had made the call earlier. He was going to move ahead, but then he realized something, and he looked at Victoria. Ah, the lady seems unfit to walk. I think we should let her out first. Nothing suspicious. Though, Ethan couldn't let Victoria go first, as he was worried. However, he could not leave her behind either. Thus, he told Jesse, "You go first and wait for Miss Selwyn outside." Jesse was going to let Victoria leave first, but Ethan's suggestion was not a bad idea, so she nodded. With the help of the men and the staff members, she got out of the elevator. Jesse confirmed that the coast was clear, and she shouted, "Mr. Hudson, you can let Miss Selwyn out now." "All right." Ethan held Victoria up. "I'll be giving you a leg up. Just step on my shoulders. You don't have to worry about anything." "Thank you." Victoria had little strength left in her body, so she needed help with even the most minute of labor. With Ethan and the other man's help, she was pushed up. Then, a pair of hands extended down toward her. They were beautiful hands, their fingers slender, and there was a silver ring around his finger. "Huh. I've never thought hotel staff would have such handsome hands." She might have lost her memories, but whenever she ran into any case of the malfunctioning elevator, she remembered that the staff members didn't have hands this beautiful. Something was odd. Victoria figured she shouldn't extend her hands, but for some reason, she still put her hand into the man's palm. The moment their skin touched, the man held her tight, and a surge of warmth traveled across her hand. There was no time to think, for the man pulled her up without hesitating. As she was yanked back up, she felt something familiar coming from this man. When she got out, she wanted to see who the man was, but someone's hand reached her waist, and she was swept off her feet. The speed made her wobble a little, and her hand slithered upward. When she made the landing, she noticed that she had her arm wrapped around the man's neck, and her face was buried in his chest. A familiar yet unfamiliar scent assailed her nose. She wanted to look up, but the man held her in a princess carry. "Let's go," the man said coolly, but he sounded so familiar. Before she realized what was happening, the man was already running with her, and her arms were still wrapped around his neck. The familiar sensation from the man made her realize something, and she looked up slowly. The first thing she saw was his tense jaw, and there was stubble around it. Then, she moved her his nose, then his terse, icy eyes, and finally, his neatly cropped hair. Gaze to when she finally saw who this man was, her heart started to race. When she went through her phone to check her photos, she noticed a photo of them, though he was standing in the distance. She wasn't sure if he was the man in the photo, but she had a feeling this man had close ties to her. Even though she couldn't see the man clearly in the photo, she knew he was the same man in that photo when she came face to face with the man holding her in his arms. He was also the one she wanted to find. Alaric. Realization sank in, and Victoria's breathing was starting to get ragged. "Why is he here? I thought he was supposed to be in a coma. Did he wake up? And how did he show up at the right time? Was he the one who'd been following me the whole night?" Her mind was a mess. As Alaric took her away, she said, "A minute, please." Alaric looked at her. When Victoria met his gaze, she teared up. He was as handsome and dashing as usual, but there was listlessness swimming in his eyes, and dark circles covered the skin under his eyes. "Don't talk. We have to get you away from here first." Chapter 503. He abused you. There was a group of people behind him, too, including Terence. With a worried gaze, he looked at Victoria. "Is your leg hurt, Miss Selwyn?" Alaric looked at her leg for a moment before staring ahead once more. He didn't want to risk tripping and causing harm to her, so he had to keep his eyes on the road. "Not the time for that. Once we leave this place, I'll take you to the doctor." He held her tighter, almost merging them into one. Victoria kept trying to tell him to wait, but he didn't listen. All he cared about was taking her away. He knew she would be here, so the whole street was evacuated for them. No one came to stop them as they went through the street, and before long, Victoria was tucked into a car, the very same one that followed them. But the car turned to the other junction on its way here, so how did it come back that fast? Once they were in the car, Alaric said coldly, "Go." The car whizzed ahead, and a motorcade followed it. Victoria settled in and recalled Ethan and Jesse were still in the hospital, so she turned around. She then felt something tighten around her shoulders, and the air cooled. It was Alaric holding her in his embrace. "Good to see you safe," he whispered. Victoria's chin was resting on his shoulder. He was holding her firmly in his embrace, his arms like vines enveloping her, refusing to let her go. Victoria teared up. She might have lost all memories of him, but the feeling that came from him was something she would never forget. She wasn't averse to his touch. Even when she had lost her memories and Bane had claimed that he was her fiancé, she would still stay away from him and avoid his touch. She did not feel repulsed by this man, however. She loved everything about him, and she had longed for him, his touch, his warmth, and even the sound of his breathing. A few moments later, Victoria slowly returned his hug. A long, long while later, she caught a whiff of blood, and she scrunched up her nose, thinking she must have gotten it wrong. Yet, the stench worsened. Noticing that something was off, Victoria pushed Alaric away. At first, he wouldn't let go of her, still holding her tightly, but then he realized there must be a reason for this, so he let her go and stared at her closely. "Are you hurt somewhere?" "Oh, he's let me go." Victoria shook her head. Just when she was about to ask him a few questions, she noticed the blood on his shirt, and she extended her hand, trying to touch it. "You're hurt." Before she could touch his wound, he grabbed her hand. "I'm fine." A beautiful smile curled his lips. "Just an old wound. Nothing big." She frowned at that. "An old wound? But it's bleeding." Alaric froze and raised his other hand, trying to hold the wound down, but then he noticed something off, so he stopped himself. Terence, too, noticed what he wanted to do, so he quickly handed Alaric a folded handkerchief. "Mr. Cadogan." Alaric took it and held it down on his wound, saying, "I'm fine. Must have pulled on it just now. Is that so?" Victoria gave him a doubtful stare. "Are you sure you're fine?" "I'm fine," he reassured, but he still wouldn't let her go, as if he was afraid she might get a closer look. Displeased, the woman tried to break free, but he wouldn't release her hand, and she frowned. "Let me go." No, Alaric shook his head, his eyes glimmering with tenderness, the neon lights and silvery moonlight raining down on him. "I've missed you. Let me hold you for a bit longer." Hearing his response, Victoria didn't know what to say. Terence felt awkward, and he turned around. "I can't believe he's this awkward." He wouldn't let her see his wound, and he came up with a lame excuse for it. Victoria wasn't that easily tricked, however. Even though she did feel a little touched when he said he missed her, she still wanted to know about his wound. She struggled again. "I know, but at least let me check your wound or deal with it." For some reason, Alaric wouldn't let her hand go, refusing to let her check his wounds. Instead, he looked down. "Are you hurt anywhere? And what about your legs?" Moments ago, he noticed she exited her car and sat in a wheelchair. Victoria froze for a moment as she recalled something. "He must think my legs are hurt or something." "So," she explained, "my legs are fine. I just went with the wheelchair because I'm weakened." "Weakened?" Alaric narrowed his eyes. "Did he abuse you?" As he said that, the air around him turned tense, dangerous, and sharp. That feeling did not escape Victoria, and she sighed. "It's not him. It's me. What happened?" Alaric asked nervously. Victoria didn't answer. Instead, She looked at him silently. I'm fine. The man frowned upon hearing her reply. I mean, you told me you're fine, too. If you won't let me see your wound, I don't think I'm going to tell you my story. Oh, she's annoyed that I wouldn't let her see my wound. Alaric pursed his lips and said, I'll get the doctor to give you a full body checkup when we get home. Damn MIT, he's not going to show me his wound, huh? The man held her hand in one hand while the other was on his injury. Victoria noticed that the handkerchief was slowly turning red while they spoke. And he says he's fine. He's bleeding so much. She pursed her lips in displeasure. Even if you don't want me to see it, at least get someone to deal with the bleeding. Alaric froze for a moment, hesitation flitting in his eyes. At this rate, you're going to black out due to blood loss. Are you trying to make me feel guilty at this point? Terence piped up, she's right, Mr. Cadogan. I know you're worried about her, but now that she's insisting, I think you should get your wound looked at. We have a medical kit in the car. A moment of silence later, Alaric finally nodded. Chapter 504. He won't take you away again. Alaric was thinking of letting Terence deal with the wound, but the moment he came back with the medical kit, Victoria took it from him. Terence looked at her for a brief moment before turning his attention to Alaric. He only moved to the back seat when he got a nod from Alaric. Still not letting me go. Victoria looked at the hand that was holding her wrist. Alaric looked at her wrist as well. It was so slender that it looked almost like a twig. A beautiful one, though. Still, he frowned. It had only been a while, but she had gotten sickly thin. He looked at her and blamed himself for what happened. If he knew this would happen, he wouldn't have relented. He gnashed his teeth and slowly let go of her wrist. Victoria opened the medical kit without saying anything and whipped out the meds needed to treat his wounds. While she was doing that, the man kept his eyes on her. He didn't notice it at first since they were in a hurry, but now that he had time, he realized that her face had gotten smaller, and the bones were almost jutting out. She was bloodless down to her lips. Something squeezed his heart tighter and tighter, filling it with regret. Victoria found the meds she needed a while later. There weren't a lot of items in the kit, so she could only clean his wounds in the simplest way possible. She huddled closer to him and tried to take the handkerchief away, but Alaric stopped her out of instinct. She looked at him, and he said with resignation, "Why don't you let him do it?" By him, he meant Terence. "Why? Can't I do this?" she asked. "I don't want to scare you. If you keep this up, you'll faint. In the end, I'll still be the one dealing with you," said Victoria. A moment of silence later, Alaric finally moved his hand away and unbuttoned his shirt. It was a fresh wound located in a different place, and it almost killed him, too. Due to this wound, the doctor forbade him to leave the hospital, but he was unstoppable. Still, right after he left, the injury wouldn't stop bleeding, so he had to try his best to staunch the bleeding on his way here. At this moment, Alaric didn't look too good himself, too. Victoria tended to his wound in silence. A long while later, she looked up. Done. However, this is just a crude handling of it, you still need a professional to treat your wound. Where are we going, by the way? And when will we get there? You should get a doctor to help you with this. We're going to the airport, said Alaric. The woman looked at him in surprise. The airport? Yeah. We're taking you home. After he busted her out last time, they were held back by something, and then one thing led to another. This time, he would not make the same mistake again. This time, he would take her back home. As for Bane. Well, since he broke his word and almost killed me, I guess we're even now. The next time we meet, we'll be strangers. No, worse than that. The look in his eyes darkened, and he pulled Victoria closer. No one's going to take you away from me this time. Is he seriously planning to go to the airport? Victoria was against his idea. He is badly injured, what if no one at the airport can deal with his wound? And I bet flying back is going to take a lot of time. What if his injury gets worse? Her frown deepened. Are you sure you don't want to get that checked before you leave?
I am sure.
But dash no buts. Let me handle this. He would not let himself fall. Sure enough, he wanted to save her, but he also had to keep himself safe if he wished to protect her. Victoria had wondered how he would deal with the wound, but she had gotten her answer upon arriving at the airport. It seemed that Alaric had told a doctor to wait for him beforehand, so the moment they arrived, the doctor swiftly dealt with the wound. Victoria heaved a sigh of relief. As the tension melted away, exhaustion swarmed her. While Alaric was getting treated, everything around her turned black, and she fell sideways, oblivious to what was happening around her after that. Is she all right? When will she wake up? Is this malnourishment? Or a burnout? Beeps and noises blared around her, and a stab of pain flared up Victoria's arm. She's fine. Not injured either. She just needs to rest up after she wakes, and she'll be fine. Then, she heard more noises. Sometimes clear, sometimes vague, sometimes near, sometimes far. And then, nothing. For a long time, she was plunged into darkness. God knew how long had gone by when she regained consciousness. It was daytime when she woke up. Her head and body felt heavy, it was as if she had a ton of lead stuffed into her. Someone was resting their head on the edge of her bed. It was Alaric. He was sleeping, but one slight movement woke him up. When he realized she had regained consciousness, he stood up. Are you feeling better? He huddled closer. Victoria blinked and nodded. Yeah. I feel all right. At this distance, she noticed his bloodshot eyes. He looks exhausted, she thought as she felt the tickle of his breath on her face. Are you sure? He didn't believe her, so he didn't move back and stayed in position, millimeters from her. Away, Victoria felt nervous, and her face flushed at their proximity. She tried to move away, but the moment she did, Alaric closed in and pressed his lips against hers. She stopped breathing for a moment. Alaric didn't move and held the kiss for a long time, his eyes glistening with a while later, Victoria found the silence unbearable, so she looked away. The man paused for a moment before moving back while pursing his lips. Are you thirsty? Do you need any water? He asked hoarsely. She gulped for a bit and realized she was parched, so she nodded. All right. He got up and went to get some water for her. It was only then she could finally breathe easier. With him gone, she could ease up a bit, then a while later, he came back with half a glass of water. He held her up and put a pillow behind her back. When she insisted on drinking the water by herself, he got a little upset and was adamant about feeding her. She couldn't refuse him, so she relented and took little sips from the glass. At the same time, Alaric stared at her. Eventually, her cheeks burned up under his gaze, and she broke the ice. Were you guys behind the elevator malfunction? The look in Alaric's eyes softened. How'd you know? Chapter 505. You took me away. How did Victoria notice it? She had probably sensed something was off since the moment she noticed someone tailing them on the road a while ago, though that car had left them halfway. And after she left the hotel, the car she entered was the same car that had tailed her earlier. She put two and two together and guessed the gist of it. The guy in the elevator was working for you, too, wasn't he? Since she had stopped drinking, Alaric wiped her lips and nodded. I see. No wonder there was barely anyone waiting for the elevator. That shouldn't be the case for a packed hotel. And just when I was questioning things, a guy showed up. Then, as if by coincidence, the elevator broke down right after it started ascending. The man then made a call, and then Alaric showed up. That could only mean one thing: it was all orchestrated. Alaric was delighted that she could talk about that little accident with a clear mind. While she was out cold, the doctor had told him that even though she suffered no visible injuries, she still had to be put under observation to see if she had sustained any injuries to her innards or brains. If she could hold her own in a conversation like a normal person, then she should be fine. Fortunately, she was fine, aside from the fact that she had to get more nourishment. However, Alaric's smile didn't stay for long. Victoria looked around and asked, "Where am I?" Alaric froze and looked at her. "I'm sorry." The tone changed. The woman frowned. "Was it something I said?" She looked around and asked softly, "I just want to know where I am." Alaric's smile faltered at first because of the question. He thought it was just a lapse in memory, but now that she was asking him the same question again, his smile disappeared. This was where they lived. After he had woken up, he found out that Victoria and the kids used to live in this place, so he took her back home, thinking she could meet the kids. However, his father said that Mary took the kids to see their great-grandmother, so Alaric figured he would let her stay until she woke up, then they would talk. She woke up eventually, though she didn't seem to recognize this place. His breathing quickened, but he didn't show his panic. Instead, he looked at Victoria, asking, "This is your home, or have you forgotten about it?" Victoria didn't look fazed at all. She nodded, absorbing the information. "I see." Just then, she remembered something. Quickly, she asked, "What about the lady and the man who came out with me after I was rescued?" Jessie had no idea about the mess she was in. The girl was just doing her job, and Ethan had helped her a lot. If he hadn't told her that she had kids, she wouldn't even have the motivation to leave, much less escape. "And if I hadn't left the ward, Alaric wouldn't have the opening to save me." Noticing her concern for the pair, Alaric said, "My men's job was to bust you out. They won't harm the two of them, but I'm not sure what happened to them." Victoria heaved a sigh of relief. As long as they weren't harmed, then everything was fine. Once Alaric's men were gone, Jessie could probably help Ethan out of the elevator. They should be fine, though she couldn't help but wonder if Bane would punish them. "I wouldn't harm them, not when Ethan has saved you before." Victoria sighed. "So, he saved me before." No wonder she felt closer to Ethan when she saw him. Even when her memories were gone, her body still remembered the people who were nice to her. Alaric frowned and narrowed his eyes. "You forgot about that." Just then, Victoria realized something. Alaric probably had no idea she had lost her memories. She did recognize him the moment they met, after all. She was pondering on the option of telling him about her memory loss when he posed a question. "What's wrong with your memories? Did you hurt your head?" Victoria nodded. "Yes." Alaric guessed as much, but getting the confirmation still made his heart bleed. "Did you lose all your memories?" The look on his face darkened. "No. If that's the case, then how did you recognize me?" "Because I searched your photos on my phone," she replied. "And Ethan told me about you." "Is this a joke?" "What?" He stared at Victoria in disbelief. "She came all the way here, and now she's telling me she had lost her memories. And she only recognized me because Ethan told her about me and showed her my photos. It's hard to find your pictures. You've kept yourself hidden well. We only got a vague photo of you where you were standing in the distance. I couldn't even see your face." Alaric was starting to feel suffocated. "So, she's lost her memories. Wait, does that mean she didn't even remember me when I was saving her? She came with me based on nothing but her instinct, huh?" He gritted his teeth. "You came with me even when you weren't sure the man in the photo was me. What if I was a villain?" Victoria was surprised he would question her. A moment of pause later, she responded, "I didn't come with you. You took me away."
"Oh, she's right." Alaric froze for a while and sputtered, "So, you just let anyone take you away?"
"Of course not," she denied without any hesitation. And he felt a little better hearing that.
"I couldn't see your face clearly, but the moment you showed up, I felt," she paused for a moment, thinking how she should describe the feeling.
Alaric couldn't wait to hear it.
"Felt what?"
"Felt like you were different. That you're the one I've been waiting for."
The man felt something gouging his heart.
He felt for Victoria, and he pulled her into his embrace. "Next time, don't run off with anyone you see, even if you feel they might be good people. Don't run off with anyone aside from me."
Victoria tasted his scent. It felt cool and calming, and there was a hint of meds fused within. She frowned.
"I thought you were badly hurt and fell into a coma.
So, why and how'd you show up?"
Chapter 506. Disappointing you. She got into a big fight with Bane because she was worried he might not treat Alaric. He was severely injured, and if he didn't get treated, he might die or get afflicted with serious complications. Eventually, she convinced Bane into letting him leave. Just then, she was reminded of the promise she made to Bane. "He only let Alaric go because she offered to stay. And now I'm gone before I even explain things to him. Bane would be waiting for nothing," and she had no idea what he was going to talk about. She had a feeling he would say goodbye, but that was just a hunch.
Victoria asked, "How long have I been out?
Why do you want to know?"
"Just curious."
"A day."
She pursed her lips.
"I wonder what had happened when I was out."
She fell into silence. Alaric had no idea what was on her mind, but he knew she was not in the best of moods.
"What's wrong?"
She looked at him and shook her head.
"It's nothing."
That was what she said, but then she fell right back into her pensive thoughts. The man asked, "So, do you remember how you lost your memories?" The question confused Victoria, and it was then she realized that she hadn't even wondered how she had lost her memories after losing him.
"I am not sure, but when I woke up, my head felt like it was injured."
Alaric looked at her forehead, but there was no wound or scar, so he checked the back of her head.
"So, you hurt the back of your head?"
"I think so." He checked on it for a moment and fell silent.
"You're getting that checkup.
I need to know you're fine."
Right then, Victoria was reminded of something else.
"Hey, I know you want me to get checked, but what about you?"
"What about me?"
"If I'm right, the whole reason I went there was to make a deal with him. I stayed so you could leave."
Alaric frowned, and he cursed himself for relenting back then. If it weren't for that, he wouldn't have gotten himself hurt or knocked out. If he weren't knocked out, she wouldn't offer herself up so he could leave. He failed as a man, he failed to protect his lover and had her put herself in danger.
"Ethan told me you were deep in a coma when you left.
Badly hurt, too."
That was the meat of the conversation. "So, when did you wake up? Have you sustained any more wounds other than the one on your chest?"
Alaric said nothing.
"Alaric."
Alaric looked at her.
"Not too long ago.
And you came straight to me."
He didn't want to tell her, but it was impossible to hide, so he confessed, "Yes." When he woke up and found out he was back in his home nation, he told Terence to arrange a flight. And thanks to his father's help, he managed to save Victoria. The confession made Victoria frown. Ethan wouldn't lie to her. If Alaric had gone back to their home nation and woken up there, then he must have been badly injured, or he wouldn't have been knocked out for so long. And he came back right after he woke up. No wonder his wound had torn open when he took me away.
"Are you sure you're all right?" she asked.
"Did the doctor permit you to pull the stunt right after your recovery?" Delighted by her concern toward him, Alaric smiled.
"Of course, I'd ask for his permission before I came. Victoria stopped for a moment, looking speechless. I have amnesia but am not dement. Damn it, the man cursed in silence. You think you can lie to me? Is this a joke to you? Alaric got a little nervous. Are you mad? Victoria turned her head away. I'm sorry. I just don't want you to get worried. Did I let you down? He sounded so nervous that it was as if he would kill himself if she didn't forgive him. She couldn't possibly ignore him if he was in that state. Even though he neglected himself, he only did it to save her, so she had no right to be angry at him. Slowly, she turned around. You should know why I'm angry. I know. Delight flickered in Alaric's eyes, and he huddled closer to her. He was going to hold her in his embrace again like they were lovers. Victoria's heart skipped a beat, but she didn't refuse his gesture. She leaned against his chest and relinquished all tension. I know you're mad because you're worried about me. His presence enveloped her the moment she got near, and she felt secure in his embrace. Her hand slithered onto his shoulder and hung on his neck. Something stirred within Alaric, and he looked down, leaning closer. Sounds of footsteps echoed from the entrance, and Victoria stiffened up. She let the man go and pushed him away before going back to bed. Alaric rooted to his spot, still leaning over. Terence came in and looked confused by the scene. What are you doing sitting like that, sir? Is Miss Selwyn awake? Victoria coughed as if on cue, and she slowly raised her hand. Calling for me. Oh, you're awake. Terence was delighted to see her awake. And I was wondering when you'd wake up. Are you feeling all right? The doctor said you should tell us if you're feeling unwell. And then you'll be going for a checkup. I'm fine. Alaric was still in the same position, and he looked at Terence. Tell the doctor her memories are fumbled up. See if he has any treatment for it. Terence's delight vanished in that instant, and he stood, petrified. What happened to her memories? He stared at Alaric in shock. The look on Alaric's face told him what he needed to know, but he still turned to Victoria for confirmation. Do you remember who I am, Miss Selwyn? Much to his disbelief, the lady slowly shook her head. Seeing that, Terence cursed within his heart, what the hell, Bane? It hasn't even been days, and Miss Selwyn's lost her memories. Chapter 507. Still worried about him. Terence cursed Bane in his heart and quickly said, I'll call the doctor. Then, he left. Victoria thought Terence was gone, but he came back a short while later, only this time, he didn't come in. He stood at the doorway, calling out to Alaric. Alaric turned around, and he noticed Terence had something to say, so he told Victoria, I'll be right back. Victoria curled up in her blanket, nodding. Sure. Alaric left the ward, but Terence motioned for them to go to a further place to speak. Alaric frowned. You can speak right here. What's with the mystery? Terence looked past Alaric's shoulder and muttered, Sir, we should really take this somewhere else, or Miss Selwyn might hear us. Impatience flared in Alaric's heart. I went through hell to bring her back, and now you want me to leave her? What if something happens to her? Who's going to pay for it? His face fell. If you don't want her to hear us, then speak quietly or text me. Terence wanted to persuade Alaric, but one look at his face shut him up, so he lowered his voice. Sir, you've been keeping an eye on her for a while now. It was fine when she was in a coma, but now that she's awake, you should be focusing on your wound. The doctor's been waiting, worried that the wound might get inflamed. Alaric had forgotten about the fact that he too was injured, so he didn't expect Terence to bring it up, and he froze. A moment later, he said, I get it. I'll see the doctor in a bit. That story didn't fly with Terence. It's not the first time you said that, sir. I've never seen you going to the doctor. If you aren't going, then he's coming to you. Doctor's words, not mine. Tsk. So, either you let Miss Selwyn watch while the doctor deals with your wound, or you see him right now. Pick one. A while later, Alaric said, call her doctor over. Ugh, finally. Terence nodded and left. Once he was gone, Alaric went back to Victoria. She was still covering herself, revealing only her head, and he was amused. He helped her sit up, and she asked, so what were you two talking about? So nothing I should know. It's nothing. Just get some rest. Victoria didn't give up. Instead, she frowned. Is this about your wound? Alaric froze, surprised that she was so keen, but she had always been smart. Even without him saying anything, she could guess the gist of the matter. You're reading too much into it. He tapped her nose. If I'm really hurt, I wouldn't be talking to you now, nor could I have brought you all the way home. Victoria shook her head. This is different. You are wounded. Even if you were fine, you might be at your limits right now. Before I blacked out, the doctor did check on you once, didn't he? Yeah, and thanks to him, I'm sitting here with you. Don't worry. I won't get in trouble. I still have to keep you safe, don't I? That's true. Victoria stopped suspecting him, but she was still worried about the Bane situation, so she asked, what happened to Bane and his guys after I left? The mention of Bane's name dampened Alaric's mood. Why do you want to know? Woe read. The jealousy was unmistakable, and Victoria resigned to it. She lost all her memories, but she could feel that Alaric was a territorial man. Bringing up Bane might upset him, but she had to do it as she needed to tie up loose ends, if any. No. I just want to know how you're going to deal with him. Even when you've lost all your memories, you're still worried about him, retorted Alaric, sounding even more jealous. Ugh. I don't mind the wound he inflicted on me. It's a sign that we're over as friends, but I won't forgive him for what he did to you. That was a bit roundabout, but Victoria could sense the malice and fury simmering beneath his words. She wanted to say something when she heard footsteps. Terence had come back with the doctor. Sir, Miss Selwyn, the doctor is here. Alaric resumed his old self and held the back of Victoria's head. Just let the doctor check on you. I'll be going now, but I'll come back once you're done. Victoria knew what he was going to do, and she nodded. Sure. Before he left, Alaric told Terence to stay and keep an eye on things. He said, of course, sir. I won't let anything happen to Miss Selwyn even if it means my life. A bold statement, but Alaric didn't doubt him. After all, Terence had done a lot in this rescue mission, and he traveled to a lot of places to set things up. Alaric nodded. You're getting a raise in bonus. Thank you, sir. After Alaric was gone, Terence went inside to keep an eye on things. The doctor asked Victoria a lot of questions during the checkup, and she answered everything. In the end, he had no more questions, so Victoria looked at Terence. She started casually, she didn't finish her sentence, but Terence knew that she wanted to ask for his name, so he said, call me Levan, Miss Selwyn. Mr. Levan. Victoria nodded. Is Alaric badly hurt? The sudden question made Terence freeze. Before he could answer, Victoria spoke again. He went to get his wound checked, didn't he? He went to Jernis Woe, Terence finally snapped out of it. Yes. Ever since you fell unconscious, he's been staying by your side. Even when the doctor told him to get checked. Called it? Victoria felt for him. Did he push himself to save me? Terence didn't want to worry Victoria, but at the same time, he didn't want Alaric's contribution to be unacknowledged, so he nodded. Yes. Chapter 508. Hard to answer. he was badly hurt when he was taken home, and that's not even including his external wounds. The doctors spent a lot of time just treating him. He should have been put under 48 hours of observation after he woke up. Terence stared at the ground, resigned. But we couldn't stop him. He didn't tell her how terrifying Alaric was. He looked like a beast who would kill anyone who came in his way. If they tried to stop him, he would kill himself. In the end, Terence threw caution to the wind and let Alaric save Victoria. Victoria finally got the whole picture. Alaric was lying when he said he was fine. Everyone tried to stop him, but they failed. That would explain why he smelled like blood. Then, reminded of something, she asked, "You were implying he had internal injuries. What kind? Will he end up with complications?" She had been worried about that. Terence said, "Worry not, Miss Selwyn. Your amnesia is worse than his condition. Even though he risked his life to save you, now that he's getting treated, he'll be fine." Victoria still looked worried, however. Seeing that, Terence said, "Miss Selwyn, if you're still worried, just wait until he comes back. You'll be at ease once you see that he's fine." That was what he wanted to say. Victoria took it the wrong way. Before he could finish, she said, "I can see him, can't I?" Terence froze. Victoria looked at the doctor. "Is my checkup done, doctor?" The doctor liked this girl. She was cooperative and had a nice voice. He smiled at her. "I need 15 more minutes. If he's still not back by then, you can seek him out." "Thank you." Victoria continued with the checkup. "Just 15 more minutes. Alaric has been with me for a long time. It's going to take a while before he comes back." Terence didn't expect this to happen, but he didn't mind letting her go. If she saw his injuries, she might realize how much he had risked saving her, and their relationship might get better. Well, that's settled then. 15 minutes later, the checkup was done. "Thanks for the cooperation," the doctor praised. He was the Cadogans' personal doctor, after all. They needed to wait for some of the test results, while some were available immediately. Victoria was in no hurry to find out about her checkup results. She straightened out her collar and got prepared to see Alaric. However, the plan failed because just as she got up, Alaric was already back. When he noticed her getting out of bed, he frowned. "Why are you getting out of bed? Is the checkup done?" He approached her and passed his arm through her underarm. Before Victoria realized what he was doing, he was already picking her up. She gasped and wrapped her arms around his neck as he took her back to the bed. The doctor and Terence had taken their leave, so only Alaric and Victoria were left. Victoria said, "You can't just hold me whenever you want." "Why?" He hadn't seen her for a long time, and he missed her. They just got out of a crisis, so he wanted to hold her all the time and never let her out of his sight. Only then could he feel content. Only that could erase his guilt, fear, and unease. "Because you're hurt. If you hold me, you're going to tear the wound open." "No. You're not even that heavy." "Really?" Victoria pulled up a memory. "Then why did you bleed so much when you saved me?" "Because you were holding me, weren't you?" "No. Because the wound was already open," Alaric denied, "so Victoria wouldn't think it was her fault." "I see." Victoria stared at him. "So that means you didn't deal with the wound when it was torn open." Alaric froze. "Damn it, she got me." He played dumb. "What?" Victoria changed the subject all of a sudden. "You were in the black car tailing us, weren't you?" It was a simple question, but Alaric stopped to think about it. "Maybe I should come up with a better answer." "What is it?" Noticing his pensiveness, Victoria huddled closer. "Is that so hard to answer?" "It's just a yes or no. Alaric didn't feel this miffed even when his wound was at its worst. This was a simple question, but he couldn't answer it simply.
Alaric. Victoria huddled closer, her scent enveloping Alaric. Alaric stared at the beautiful woman, and an inappropriate idea popped into his mind. Well, he already had that idea before, but Terence's entrance interrupted him. He was upset at Terence because of that, but he was glad Terence showed up. After all, Victoria must still be unwell after the ordeal. He shouldn't be having these thoughts, so threw them out of his mind and turned away.
I was just wondering how you could be so lively after the ordeal.
The checkup's fine, I presume.
Don't change the subject.
Were you or were you not in the car?
Can't run from this, I guess.
I was.
You were tailing us for a while.
You had time to deal with your wound, so why didn't you?
Knew it?
She's here to demand an explanation.
He smirked.
Worried about me?
But it's in the past now.
What matters is that I'm fine right now and I'm right here with you.
That's enough, isn't it?
You think just because you got out of this with sheer dumb luck, you can pull something similar next time?
Alaric's smile froze.
That's not what I meant.
You're incorrigible, or you wouldn't have waited until I woke up before you got yourself checked.
What could you even do for me if you were keeping an eye on me while your wound festered?
Victoria knew she was castigating him, and she guessed that he might be disappointed.
After all, he risked his life to save her, but now she was rebuking him.
Chapter 509.
Why did you do that to her?
Victoria had no idea about the kind of woman she was before the amnesia, nor did she know how she would deal with this kind of matter, but she just knew she had to nag him.
Everyone could laugh just because things ended up fine, but what if they didn't?
What if they ended with tragedy?
Alaric knew the severity of the situation as well.
Victoria had just woken up, and fluctuating emotions might hurt her, so he stopped arguing and quickly apologized.
I'm sorry.
I won't do it again.
Please don't stay mad at me, all right?
Victoria thought he would at least argue, but instead, he apologized right away.
She looked at him dubiously.
That's fast.
Are you sure you won't do it again, or did you just say it to appease me?
You won't do it again, will you?
No, next time, I promise.
He promised he wouldn't let her get taken away again, so there wouldn't be a next time.
Technically, that was not a lie.
Victoria couldn't say anything after that earnest apology.
Realizing that she had calmed down, Alaric asked, "You've been awake for a while now. Do you feel any discomfort?"
Victoria shook her head.
No, she wanted to ask about Bane, but earlier, Alaric looked angry because of that, so she tucked that idea away and brought up something else.
I have something to ask.
That line dulled Alaric's delight, and he calmly said, what is it?
She knew Alaric was thinking that she might ask about Bane, and she sighed.
I'm not going to ask anything about him.
Ethan told me I have two kids, so, where are they?
Alaric thought she would forget about the kids because of her amnesia, so he was surprised that she asked.
He paused, and the fury that was sparking disappeared, replaced by a softer emotion.
My dad asked around.
They went to the outskirts with my mom.
Victoria had no idea where the outskirts were, but she was relieved that the kids were with Alaric's mother.
So, I can't see them for now.
She really wanted to see the kids.
At this moment, her amnesia was not a curse, but a blessing.
She was curious about the children, wondering what they would look like.
She wondered if they would act like the kids she saw in her dreams.
The thought of that intensified her wish of seeing them.
Alaric asked, "Do you want to see them?"
Victoria looked at him.
Before she could say anything, he said, "Then we'll wait until the results of your checkup are out.
If everything is fine, I'll take you to them."
Happiness filled Victoria's eyes.
Really?
So, I can see them?
Yes, but only after we know that you're fine.
If you're not, then you have to stay and get treated. Victoria agreed to that.
Sure, but what about you? Maybe we should wait until you're better.
I'm fine. I just need some rest and make sure to use my salve.
Won't harm me one bit.
Besides, I don't have to carry you around this time, he joked.
Victoria shot him a glare.
Oh, so this is my fault now?
No.
So feeling well?
Need anything?
Why don't you eat something, and then we can check the results later?
Sure.
Victoria was starting to feel hungry, so Alaric told someone to make some food. He had no idea that Victoria's appetite was severely affected by the ordeal, but he still told them to make something easy to eat, given that she had just woken up. Victoria didn't want him to find out about that. She had found her motivation to live and could eat now. All she needed was some time to rest up, so telling him would only make him worry. Victoria was careful when she ate, worried that she might retch if she ate too much. When she was feeling a bit full, she put her spoon down, and Alaric took the plate.
Done.
Victoria nodded.
Yeah.
I just woke up, so I don't feel like eating much.
Maybe next time.
Alaric didn't think much about it. He nodded and told the servant to do the dishes. Later, the test reports were released. The doctor said that Victoria was fine, but there was no way to cure her amnesia except wait. He also told Alaric that Victoria was malnourished. Alaric tightened his grip on the report. Victoria was slender, to begin with, and now she was getting gaunt.
Still malnourished?
It hasn't even been too long. I can't imagine how much torture she's been through.
Amnesia and malnourishment?
Alaric clenched his fists and gnashed his teeth.
Damn you, Bane.
I thought you liked her, so how did this happen? If I had been that much later in my rescue, would she have died?
When Alaric came back to Victoria, he had hidden his fury and pain.
He gently draped a coat over her and said, "The car's waiting right downstairs. Anything you want to take with you?"
I don't really have anything to take with me.
Maybe she really didn't, but mostly it was because of her amnesia, so she had no idea what to take with her. The servants only packed up the essentials. The look of loss in her eyes did not escape Alaric. He said, "It's all right. Even the outskirts are getting developed now. We can get anything you want there."
Victoria nodded.
"Sure." Alaric held her hand. When her skin touched his, he was reminded that she was still malnourished, and that memory sparked some fury within him.
"Bane.
I know you might get angry, but if you're coming with me to the outskirts, what about Bane? Don't you have to deal with him?" That snapped him out of his fury, and Alaric smiled. Tenderly, he said, "It's all right. Someone else is dealing with it now, and I'm sure he'll do a perfect job." That snapped him out of his fury, and Alaric smiled. Tenderly, he said, "It's all right. Someone else is dealing with it now, and I'm sure he'll do a perfect job." Victoria looked dazed for a moment. She might be hearing things, but she swore Alaric gnashed his teeth when he said the last part of that sentence. Chapter 510. To recover her memories. Still, after all she and he had gone through, it was normal for him to get mad.
"Don't ask any more questions. You've lost your memories now, so just rest up."
But, Victoria was still hesitant.
"You think I can't handle this?"
"That's not what I meant." Victoria looked at him. She was going to say something, but the look in his eyes made her swallow her words.
"Fine. I might have lost my memories, but I have faith in my decisions. I chose him, so he can handle matters.
Bane went down the wrong path, and he must rectify his choice." She said nothing more and leaned backward. She was going to lean into the seat, but Alaric extended his arm and pulled her into his embrace. She rested her head against his chest.
"Get some rest."
His presence soothed her and calmed her heart, so Victoria didn't object to being hugged. In fact, she wrapped her arms around his waist and rested in his embrace. Alaric paused for a few moments and pulled her tighter. Only then could he feel that she was real. The path was smooth at first, but the further along they went, the bumpier and more meandering the path became. There was even a mountain near the path. There were no surveillance cameras around to monitor their safety, not to mention there was a risk of a landslide. The driver was experienced enough to know that they should leave the stretch of the path at once, and he sped up. Once away from that stretch of road, Victoria frowned. That stretch of road was scary. Alaric held her in silence, calming his fire down. She had rattled around in his arms back at that bumpy stretch of road. It was fine at first, since he had to keep her safe, and that stripped him of any chance to think of anything else. However, the more she rattled, the worse the flame of desire burned within Alaric. Once he was done calming down, he said hoarsely, "I'm telling someone to fix that path." Road repairs aren't cheap, Victoria thought. But he didn't seem too concerned about it, so I guess he's rich. Oh, so that means the father of my children is super rich. Victoria was happy about that, and she hugged Alaric tighter. The flames were lit once more. Alaric patted Victoria's back, twirling her hair around. Eventually, she fell asleep in his arms. When he noticed that her hands had slipped from his waist because she fell asleep, he held them and tucked them into his coat, warming her up as he held her in his embrace. The car was warm and peaceful. It was like they had returned to a time when they were more loving. Alaric was bothered by her amnesia at first, but after all the shows of affection, he thought it was probably a good thing for her. If she was the Victoria of old, she would never be so close to him. Even if they were to patch things up and fall in love again, the barrier they had between them would be hard to tear down. He would be spending a lot more time just to patch things up again. However, now she was approaching and cozying up to him just because her heart told her to. Eventually, the car came to a stop, but the driver didn't turn around. Instead, he politely said, "Sir, we're here." Alaric looked outside, then he turned to the sleeping Victoria. Quietly, he said, "Let her sleep. Stop the car by the roadside." "Of course, sir." The driver nodded and stopped by the roadside. The passers-by stared at the car, and some even stopped for it, finding it curious. "What's with all these expensive cars coming to our village? I heard they came for Casey. The lady who arrived a few days ago is her daughter. Came with her grandkids, and dear Lord, are the kids beautiful. Fair and lovely. City kids are so different. Yeah. I saw them when I passed by her house. Casey's husband even made a swing under the tree so the kids could have fun." The passers-by started chatting as they went by the car. Some said Casey was blessed with a good daughter, some said she was blessed with a good grandson who was also famous in the city, and some said Casey herself was a powerful woman who only backed out of her position due to age and moved to their beautiful village. The mention of that made their hearts swell with pride, and the villagers started bragging about their home. Alaric rolled down the window a little and listened to the conversations. When he heard that his grandfather made a swing for the kids, he smiled. They love the kids too. Well, they're smart and lovable in the first place. Most people love them, relatives and strangers alike. No one can resist beautiful people or things. Just then, Victoria stirred, and Alaric looked at her. Slowly, she woke up. Her eyes snapped open, and a few moments later, she looked at him. "I fell asleep." "Yeah." Alaric nodded and caressed her cheek, then ran his fingers through her hair. Victoria realized the car had stopped, and she looked outside. The sight made her "We've arrived," eyes shine. The look of delight on her face made Alaric smile. "Yes. Why didn't you wake me?" There was a little complaint in that tone. Victoria quickly got up and pushed him away as he was getting in her way. Wow. Victoria got out of the car, and Alaric followed.
Slow down. You just woke up. Don't want to fall down now.
Alaric led Victoria inside. His men could lug their luggage inside. As Victoria walked, she looked around and asked, "Have we ever come here before?" Alaric shook his head.
"No, no wonder it doesn't feel familiar."
Alaric looked at her. "Do you feel a sense of familiarity whenever you go to places you've been before?"
"I think so. I'd get a different feeling when I run into people I used to know. That feeling extends to places too, I think. When we're done with our business, I'll take you around the places you've been before. Maybe that'll help with you getting your memories back."
He paused for a moment and asked, "Do you want to get your memories back?"